It's a terrible thing to have loved someone and not know the extent to which you'd been deceived. And a more terrible thing still to love someone and not know if you'd ever been loved in return. There is something shameful in that prospect, the kind of shame that can reduce a person to someone she no longer recognizes. These were Marion's thoughts as she waded into the outer edge of the Bull River in Montana on that hot afternoon in July, as she carried a coffee tin poised in the crook of her left arm, which Marion thought ironic, as Tate didn't drink coffee. It was a beautiful spot, the river wide enough to let in a nice expanse of sunlight. Tate had chosen this location, had sat on the rocky outcrop a few feet from where Marion stood now, had pressed the river rock against her palm and asked her to remember. That was before the story Marion had believed in, the one she'd been certain had been written for her, had begun to change, like a kaleidoscope. Turn the cylinder one way, and the pieces shift, and a new image appears, as if each of her memories were a shard that could be rearranged to fit whichever story she chose to believe. And she wondered if truth existed at all. The only thing she could be certain of was that each day forward would carry the past. It will get easier, people had told her, well-intentioned people like her mother and her father, who had each lost a parent and had lost friends. You will always miss him, but in time the pain will become more remote. But they didn't know. How could they? Her grief was a complicated one. It was a mystery as addictive as her love affair had been. There were nights as she prepared to turn in, as she peeled a shirt from her body and lifted it over her head, that she imagined removing the memory of Tate from her skin. She'd step toward her bed and crawl beneath the covers. But no matter where she slept or whichever air she breathed, she felt his presence. This man who'd told her they were cut from the same block of wood, like a giant sequoia. And had she ever seen a sequoia tree? And Marion had told him she hadn't. Only 2 weeks had passed since Tate had died. And now, as she prepared to scatter what was left of his remains, she thought this was her crucible. All of it. Her relationship with Tate, his death, the events that lay ahead. Marion hadn't worn waders. She didn't own a pair. But she'd pulled on her muck boots before she'd left the vehicle. Besides, the water wasn't deep in these parts, 18 inches or a little more. And yet she knew from what Tate had told her that if she waded out any farther, the river could be well over her head, 40 feet in some parts. The water pressed against her calves and splashed inside her boots. Marion stood still and watched her shadow dance on the surface. I love you, Tate. I hope you know that. Then she removed the lid from the tin and reached her hand inside the plastic bag. Slowly, she sifted the fine ash and fragments into the water, watched the particles swirl downstream. Heat rose through her body despite the cool water, and her breathing became shallow because she felt everything. Then she shook out the bag and rinsed her hands in the river and returned the bag to the tin.